Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The age of heroes has dawned and the quest for optimal wellness continues tonight on Joyful Empowerment with Joanne Gajowski. Joanne, how are you this evening?
I'm great. Thank you so much. How are you doing?
I'm doing great and I'm looking forward to your show tonight.
Yes, it's going to be excellent. We have an amazing guest.
I'll be here listening. If you need me, just holler.
All right. Awesome. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Joyful Empowerment. I am Joanne Gajewski, and as you know, I'm the host of Joyful Empowerment. I also work on Witches Fest. I've been a practicing witch for a long time, and I am also a master's degree in clinical mental health, specializing in trauma and PTSD. And tonight I would like to talk some joyful empowerment with a wonderful friend of mine and an amazing person, Jim Sayers. Hi, Jim. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself to people that might not know you?
Hi, Joanne. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. I'm so excited.
A little bit about myself. Well, I am 46 years old this year, and I have been practicing spiritualism, witchcraft, since I was probably about 14 years old. I would say it started in our family traditions, which, of course, were embedded in Christianity. I am Irish, Scottish, and Cherokee, and a lot of our folk healing as well as magical ways came through the Appalachian traditions. Of course, since then, I have moved into more of a earth-centered practice myself, rather than the Pentecostalism of my grandparents. I have my bachelor's in clinical nutrition as well as alternative medicine. And I am what they term a master herbalist. However, I don't like to use that term because I'm still learning. And I am not a master of even one plant in my mind. So I'd like to call myself a wart cunning herbalist instead, which kind of blends that idea of plant medicine with the potential for mind and spirit as well. So
that's awesome.
That is really, really my path and what has brought me to where I'm at today.
That's awesome. I feel the same way when you say Matt. That's why I never really know how to announce myself, because saying a master, I just feel like, I don't know, I'm just Joanne, you know me. yes, I feel that, you know. So it's taken me a while to get used to saying I'm a trauma specialist, you know. I feel that. So when, you know, everybody has different thoughts about when they hear different things. And when I say the word joyful empowerment, what does that mean to you, Jim Sayers? What does joyful empowerment mean to you?
You know, to me, joyful empowerment for myself has really been through service to others. I find that my own empowerment comes from empowering others and helping others to connect with their own power and helping them to take control of their well-being in a positive and an uplifting way. As an herbalist and a witch myself, empowering others and helping them to take care of their physical health through a connection with the herbs and the plants and the remedies, as well as helping them to awaken their intuitive capabilities and connecting with their spiritual selves, to create a sense of wholeness and wellness for them, you know, integration. But that is, in teaching others and helping others, I learned so much about myself. And,
yeah,
you know, that's where I really find joyful empowerment for myself is helping others to get there as well, you know, holding their hand and going on that journey together.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I say that a lot, too, in a lot of my circles that I'm in. By empowering others, we empower ourselves, whether that be in a witch's circle, doing a ceremony, whether that's, a ceremonial practice, whether that's helping a person get through a situation that they find very hard, that they're dealing with, whether it be past trauma or current trauma or just, you know, life these days. You know, a lot of people are suffering with depression and anxiety, and it's a big thing. I know for me, that's what joyful empowerment means to me as well, is helping people get through these things and helping to lead a better, more aligned life. Like you said, I'm a therapist, so I'm not saying therapist is bad or therapy is bad, but that's the mind, you know, the physical brain or however you want to look at it. And you need to really, what I've learned myself, is not only be aligned mentally, but physically and spiritually as well. So I like to take a more holistic approach to my therapy and encourage things like meditation, nutrition, herbs, and things like that, you know. So what practices, let's say, I'm trying to look for a word, what practices or in mind, body, and spirit have helped you to overcome stuff in your life, whether that be shadow, like trauma, limiting beliefs, et cetera. Like, how has that helped you? How has your practices helped you?
You know, it's interesting because I sometimes see, shadow work thrown around almost as a, it's popular to say no. But a lot of times people aren't recognized. They're not recognizing when they're in a place to do that work. And I think to say that I've overcome shadow and put that out there to the universe is going to turn around and kick my ass and put me right back where I came from. You know what I mean?
So, exactly. That's why I threw situations in there, because I'm like, want to be careful how I word this.
Definitely. But I think it's a constant process, because you may come across a person or a situation that reminds you of past trauma that puts you right back in that position. But it's how we learn and it's how we grow. And I know for myself, and you'll see a lot in my social media, mindfulness and a lot of Eastern ideas come into play, the idea of exchanging self for other. But mindfulness meditation, I'm actually on a module in my Kitchen with Tree course right now on mindfulness, and we're talking about mindfulness, but really being aware of our thoughts and emotions. And
yes,
that helps us to develop healthier coping mechanisms. I'm all about words and how we utilize words, and, that past trauma can cause us to react. You know, we're reacting the way that we've behaved in the past. But by calming your mind and looking at the situation, it helps us to create a safer and calmer internal space in order to confront and transform that shadow. Because I'm all about safety. You know, you don't want to sink into this position without knowing what you're getting yourself into. And I think mindfulness really helps you to look at it from outside the situation, almost like your own psychotherapist. You're being your own psychotherapist in a way.
Though, I mean, that's what I'm helping people do. If you think about it, I'm just helping them find these tools that they already have within them to help them get through. I hate to say overcome, but you have to go through the situation to get over it or to learn how to handle it better, you know. And that's basically all I do, is teach people better coping strategies than they already have, you know, to make a healthier choice, is how I like to look at it.
I think psychotherapy plays an important role in shadow work. Because working with a professional therapist really helps us to develop new perspectives on our past experiences and more importantly, like our negative beliefs that are holding us back. And through talking to somebody who's outside of the situation, you know, they might be able to offer real evidence-based tools and coping skills that we might not think of on our own. So definitely the work that you're doing is so tied into spirituality, even though, you know, the industry might not, you know, recognize it as such verbally, but you're doing the work. You're doing the work in a clinical setting, and, you know,
I agree. It definitely ties in, you know, and when I did the show, everybody's like, oh, you know, another witchy podcast. I'm like, well, no, not really. I said, I'm looking at it more of how do your practices empower you within your life? Because, you know, like I say a lot on the show, when we come to our gods and goddesses, half the time, or more than half the time, I think, we're on our knees because we need some help with something. You know what I mean? And and that helps us align. But again, like I said, you need to have, it's a lifestyle. It's not only is it a mindset, but it's a lifestyle. If you want to change how things are going in your life, you have to make a change all the way around, and not just in your thinking, but what you put into your body, how you interact with others, your spiritual practice, you know, gratitude, whatever it may be, you know. And that's vitally important. I agree with you 100%. You know, like I said, I'm not trying to down therapy, obviously. I spent 10 years going to school for it. But, you know, it's true, you know, and stepping back is important. I know when my dad died, I kind of got thrown into the shadow. You know, I've always heard the term, and I always dealt with things like one thing at a time. But when my dad died in 2021, that was a year of I pretty much lived in the underworld, you know, by the River Styx. I think I had a tent there and a fire pit all ready for me. And, you know, it was a lot of just learning about myself and what I was allowing into my life, you know, and making changes on that. And that's what 2021 was, you know, 2022 was putting those practices that I learned into place in my life. And, you know, whether that was cutting relationships that were not healthy for me and setting boundaries as to what kind of energy I allow into my life. You know, and now I'm trying to use those tools to help others, if that makes any kind of sense to you. I don't know if you can relate to that at all. But I think
definitely
stepping back helps you see things in a better perspective.
For sure. And, you know, you mentioned something about making choices, you know, in your life, you know, in terms of overall wellness, body, mind, spirit. It's not just about making choices either. It's remembering that we make choices each moment, you know, so that choice you made last night to have that piece of cake was fine for that moment. But the choice that you make tonight to have a piece of fruit and a handful of almonds is another choice that you can make. And we are not the same person that we were 5 minutes ago. Because we always have that freedom of choice in each moment. And it's a matter of making the right choices for yourself, moment by moment, and not falling backwards. But when you fall backwards, that's okay, because in the next moment you can make another choice.
Well, that's how you learn as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you fall back, you're like, wait a minute, I felt so much better doing this. Now I'm doing, you know what I mean? It's all about balance. To me, that's a key word. You know, it's not saying, like you said, don't have cake. But, you know, don't have cake every night, you know, three slices before bed, you know.
Sure.
It's balancing out that thing. And I've been studying a lot on somatic healing lately, which is because we always focus on the mind, you know, the therapist, and how trauma hides within our bodies as well. And our physical brain tries to protect us from trauma, right, with that fight or flight response, and it hides the trauma in your psyche, but also sometimes it hides it within your body, and it's those mysterious illnesses and aches and pains and being mindful of how you feel every day when certain situations happen is also a good way to learn how to release trauma. And since I've been studying this, I've been, like you said, being more mindful of my choices, what I say, because, you know, words are powerful things, like you said, and just being more mindful in the moment, you know, and that's a key. Is, you know, we're not saying, you know, you can never have cake again, but when you do have cake, be mindful of how you're doing it. You know, I don't know if that makes sense.
Sure. And, you know, we actually touched on mindful eating, you know, last night in my class, but you talk about somatic healing, and I think that that's an important part of moving through shadow as well. You know, whether it's energy healing or more body-oriented healing, I'm also a Reiki master, something that I don't put out there, you know, because I do it for
Level one Reiki or level two, but I don't put it out either.
You know, I'm sure you've experienced it yourself. It really helps to balance and clear and open up space for healing. Then your body-oriented exercises like yoga, breath work, tai chi, really helps to release the tension in that in your body so that you can release those trapped emotions that you might not have even. So I may go do yoga and release those trapped emotions, and then when I do mindfulness, I notice emotions that are coming up that don't even seem to be my own. But then on closer inspection, that they're from past trauma. You know, so it does help you to process and release the things that are hiding in our energy centers. You know, we talk about chakras and, you know, I call them the ley lines of the body. You know, so releasing those things so that you can work with them is definitely part of that process.
It's important. It's definitely important to release, you know. We're so conditioned to, you know, act a certain way in certain situations, you know, like when you're at work, to be successful, you can't do these things. You have to act this way. You know, to have love or earn love, you have to look this way or be this way. And, you know, we wear all these different masks. And we're so used to covering things and pushing it down. It's really hard to, you know, we've lost, you know, when do we get to be authentic? You know what I mean? So to me, these practices are what help you, you know. And it's about balance. Like you said, it's not, you know, one thing or another. By doing all these different things, by eating healthier, you're going to feel healthier and you're going to know different feelings in your body. Like, you know, when you're in a situation that's uncomfortable, why am I feeling this way? You know, is it triggering a memory? Is it a trigger? You know, because sometimes you walk into a room and you see somebody that reminds you of somebody, and all of a sudden you get that feeling in your stomach. And, well, pay attention to that. That there might be a reason for that happening, you know, and that's, you know, mindfulness is the key, I believe, to a lot of what we go through.
Well, and Joanne, you mentioned the authentic self, and another thing that can kind of become trendy, you know, in social circles is talking about the inner child. You know, we come into this world as our authentic self, and then society molds us into what we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to act. You know, The past trauma of our parents as well. I think it's interesting. Our daughter is adopted, and she is our biological niece's baby. And the trauma that her mother went through was evident in our daughter from childhood. You know, it was almost like she was abused herself, but she's had, you know, the most sheltered, perfect life as our child.
That's residual trauma. That's the thing. You know,
and it's imprinted, you know, and that's stuff that we have to work through too. But you know, going back to that inner child is so important in trying to remember our truest self. I'm sure you work more with these terms.
I just experienced
them, you know, working with myself.
Inner dialogue is a big thing.
Definitely.
You know. And, you know, I like to look at my inner child as a little bitchy, spoiled brat sometimes that's stubborn and wants to argue with me. And, no, we're not going to do that. You know, you can't do that. It's going to call, you know, it's going to, because, you know, I was raised in an environment where, you know, strict Italian, I had to be a certain way. I had to act a certain way or, you know, I would rock the boat. And I've had to learn over time, actually too much time, that someone else's expectation of how I should be in this world to get ahead. And even with my career, even when I started doing this podcast, it was like, well, should I do this? Should I not? And I'm like, look, I know, and I you know, my inner dialogue was talking to my little inner person there and saying, hey, I know we've made mistakes in the past and we've made some bad choices in the past, but I'm aware of that now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're safe and we're loved and we're around people that are going to empower us, not knock us down.
Exactly.
And so inner dialogue does play a big part in things. Sorry, my allergies are kicking my butt.
Oh, I know. They're terrible this year, but you talk about, you know, the circle, you know, that community and that sense of connectedness is so important for us to heal. We can't do it alone.
No. And, you know, your environment, what you put yourself around, and I hate, you know, I know people hate to hear that these days, but who you're with tells you pretty much how your day is going to go. If you're around a negative influence or negative influences that are constantly draining you and taking away from you and pushing you down, that's going to affect your outlook on everything. And that took me a lot to learn, you know. And I never understood that statement when I was young because, you know, when we're young, you know, 18, 19, you know, we want to see the world. The world is great. You know, or at least it was for me back then. I wanted to see and do everything because at 18, I finally had freedom, you know, and I went a little crazy with that freedom, not going to lie, but that's how you learn. And I don't know, you know, it's just, it's hard, you know,
and
we need to look at those experiences and learn from it. It comes with time.
Well, and it's a mystery of the human condition. We never listen to those who try to stick their neck out for us and tell us what's best. We have to learn from our own. We have to always learn from our own mistakes. You know, we don't listen to the generation prior and their warnings. We have to put ourselves out there and learn from our own mistakes. So It's an interesting thing with our species. We don't pay attention to our to our elders.
No,
we have to learn it the hard way.
No, and again, a lot of that, when my dad died, like I said, I went into that year of, I don't know, I did a total 180 that year. You know, I started cutting out negative influences and the kind of, I learned a lot about who was there for me and who wasn't. And the thing that I realized is the people that I thought would be there, that I was so sure would be there, were not. And then other people completely surprised me, like people like you, you know, and all the people, the star, Christian, all the different people in my life that have helped me to find empowering people in my life. And, I, you know, now I'm very selective. If the energy is off, and you're trying to constantly steamroll me and push me down, I'm a quick to cut it off because, let me tell you, I lost some friendships that were long-stemmed and, you know, I gained some new connections that have empowered me tremendously, like Hercules, yourself, just different people, you know. So your atmosphere definitely plays a lot in what happens in your life. If you're around someone and you're constantly drained and you have no energy and no ambition, And, you know, instead of taking your dreams and saying, I'm going to try that, you're like, oh, no, I better not, you know. That's kind of a red flag for me now. I don't know how you feel about that thought.
You know, for sure. You know, and I have also, you know, as I've matured in my own practice and my desire to come together with people as a community, you know, I've definitely learned the warning signs, and we don't want to go down that road again. You know, I think we're responsible to walk with others on their path mm-hmm. and help them, but we're not responsible when they keep making the wrong decisions. And one of those wrong decisions is how they treat others. You know, we don't deserve to be mistreated. So at some point you have to cut your losses, and maybe you'll meet up on the path again another time. But
yeah, well, I've been reading Antonio Pagliarulo's new book, and he was talking a lot about that kind of thing, like people that look at you and deliberately try to, like, suck that energy out of you. So it's another thing, you know, to be mindful about, you know.
Definitely. And a lot of people empower themselves by disempowering others, and it's not true power.
Exactly.
It's not sustainable. So, because people
a lot of times, you know, he talked about how people do this and they tend to pass it off as like they're joking, but really, are they joking? You know what I mean? If somebody is joking about your misfortunes, you know, I understand some people have a dark sense of humor, and you know those people, you know, the sarcastic ones. But if there's somebody that's constantly just pointing out and making fun of your flaws, but what's going on with you, that's a big red flag, you know? Yeah, they are being mean to you, you know, and you don't need that energy.
It's schoolyard antics. You know, they make themselves feel better by picking on others, essentially. So.
Yeah. And what advice do you have for our listeners as far as incorporating a spiritual practice along with therapy or physical wellness, and why do you feel it's important? Like, do you have any advice for anybody that might be listening that's like, I want to try and, you know, do things a little bit better?
You know, I think the most important thing is those in-the-moment decisions, in the sense of, you know, we talk about some people hold fast to the Wiccan reed and others don't, but Ahnenharm mm-hmm. Nun, I know myself, is I have a tendency to treat others much better than I treat myself.
Yes, I do that too.
Who do we harm? Who do we harm the most in our life? And it's usually ourselves because of negative chatter. Mm-hmm. But you know, really approaching yourself as a whole person, your body, your spirit, and your mind, while they do continue to exist without the body, if you still think you have work to do in this lifetime, you better start taking care of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just recently had a friend that I went to high school with that had a widowmaker heart attack, you know, so it's a wake-up call that, you know, people my age are dropping over, you know, so I've always been health-minded, you have to remember that you can't just work with the mind, you can't just work with the spirit, you've got to pay attention to that body too, because eventually mm-hmm. the spirit is going to be weakened. The mind is going to be weakened. You know, you see people who, you know, fall victim to Alzheimer's or dementia. You know, but science knows that there's ways to help to prevent that on a physical level. So we can't forget that body, mind, spirit connection. We need this vehicle in order to continue to advance our mind and spirit. But making those choices on a daily basis. I'm all about the herbs. You know, my practice is firmly rooted. You know, I founded the House of Life Botanicals and the Herbal Ally mm-hmm. Way because my practice is so rooted in the plants and just getting out in nature and spending time with the herbs and getting to know every single thing about every herb that grows in your yard is a great step, because it's nutrition for the physical body. It's medicine.
Yep.
But it's also spirits, and they can be protectors. They can be healers. You know, they can be companions too.
I remember the first time I heard you speak, and you were talking about the spirit of place. And I said, geez, I connect with this person so much, you know, on his thinking. And then we became friends, which was even more awesome. But, you know, that really hit with me. So, you know, I'm always doing, you know, because you're friends with me on Facebook, my little journeys of social distancing and connecting with the river. And I'm starting to learn from you about all these different plants. And different. I got my dandelion vinegar going in the cabinet, and I shake it every day.
And what song do you sing while you're singing?
Yeah, I know. Shake it, shake it, shake it. And you know, so that makes me happy, you know, and that's what I'm talking about when I say joyful empowerment. This is what empowered you, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're so, you talk about spirits of place. I don't want to blame my parents' generation or my grandparents' generation, but most of us are only two, at the most three generations away from people who were very connected to the earth. And to those spirits of place, because, you know, if you had a bad crop, the family suffered, or you had to move. You know, where now we go to the grocery store and you can buy, like, I saw somebody complaining that the watermelon they bought at the grocery store tasted terrible. Well, yeah, it came from Florida. You know, you live in Ohio. You know, we're blessed, but on the other hand, we're disconnected from the seasons. You know, my parents' generation, you had strawberries in June. You didn't have strawberries in January.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a recent development. So learning those plants that grow in your yard and, you know, eating the dandelion greens and harvesting stinging nettle and eating them. We truly are, that saying, we are what we eat. You know, if you eat from the earth that you walk on, rather than eating from the land that people are walking on in Florida or Chile or Mexico, you're going to be healthier. You're going to be more connected to the spirits of place and where you reside than if you're eating food from overseas. It becomes common sense after a while that we can make better decisions in terms of what we're eating.
It's funny because, you know, you mentioned generations, and my grandmother had me eating dandelion greens since I was, you know, probably knee high. She would put them in soup. She'd saute them with some garlic and some cannellini beans, and you know, they would add them, like make salads with them. Like my dad used to like the dandelion greens with a little bit of the cannellini beans, some chopped scallions, and a little bit of vinegar. Oh, it was so good, you know, and all these things. Yeah. You know, so every time it's like she used to know there's a what people would call a weed that she would pick in the parks all the time, and it makes a really, really good tea. I think it's a form of mallow. In Italian, they call it la malva, and really, mm-hmm. really good tea that helps with a lot of things, you know, like stomach ailments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I wish I trusted myself enough to know what it looked like to pick some, you know?
Well, and if it was referred to as malva, it probably is in the mallow family, and Rose of Sharon is in the same family, and so is hibiscus. You know, so it makes sense that she would be making tea from that. And it's amazing because I will try to feed my mom dandelion greens, and like she turns her nose up at it. But it's something that my grandma taught me. And, you know, there's just this disconnection because everybody was chasing false senses of wealth and prosperity. And they forgot that the wealth was in the traditions, you know, and the ancestors. And that's what was actually important. And somehow there's a generation in between that's forgot that. So we have to reach backwards, you know, Yeah, remember the things that you were taught, but reach backwards so we can send it down to the next generation.
Well, it's funny because my grandmother is the one that taught me divination with the pendulum. I mean, now we use pendulums, but she would use, like, anything that was pointy. She would make into it, and she would do divination. She taught me how to do that. She would always make these little packets that she would pin on us. I still have one in my wallet to take in my car that protects you. And she'd write these different things and put, like, you know, dirt from the Holy Land in it and all this stuff, and then fold them up and sew them. And, you know, she would pin them on our underclothes and things like that. And these are all things I learned from her. Now, my mother is uber practical, you know what I mean? Or in a lot of levels, she wasn't sitting there teaching me that, you know? So yeah, there's definitely a gap. I learned a lot more on that level from my grandmother than I did my mom.
Well, and it's folk magic, you know, often colored by Christianity, you know, or Catholicism, or, you know, whatever tradition you come from. And, but there's still a lot of wisdom there, you know, wisdom that goes back, you know, pre-Christian, you know, that has just taken on that persona in order to be safe and fly under the radar. You know, they were over there doing their little thing. You know, I remember when I got a burn, my grandmother putting raspberry leaves on the burn and actually saying prayers from the Psalms. You know, there's powerful spells in the Bible as well. You know, and that's what they were doing. They were doing witchcraft, but calling it something else.
Yeah, my grandmother used to put a raw potato on a burn. She would cut it and put it on top of it. All different little tricks like that. I guess maybe because it draws it out. I'm not sure. She also taught me how to remove the evil eye with olive oil. She taught me a lot of different things, you know. And she'd always like, be careful who you tell. You don't want people, they'll call you Strega, you know. So, yeah, it was always done, you know, like you said, in the folk kind of way, traditionally in the home for protection. Because, you know, in those days, if you were called out like that, you know, it was problematic, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess the first place to start is start where you're at, look around where you are, right?
Definitely. You know, and one of the most important things you can do is stop spraying chemicals on your lawn. You'll be amazed at the plants that will grow and volunteer after you stop trying to eradicate and make that nice green lawn that we have become to see as the sign of prosperity. You know, we kind of were taught to turn our noses from people who have dandelions growing in their yard. But I'm the opposite. I appreciate people more who have that biodiversity, you know, going on in their space. When we moved into our home, there was a few trees, but there was nothing else except for that. And now I have every plant imaginable that's either volunteered or I've introduced. You know, I have a battle right now going on between the mother duck that's laid eggs in my flower bed and my crows who I feed every day, and I'm trying to maintain that balance of friendship.
I love the duck.
I don't want the crows eating the eggs. So, but just being connected to your space and creating refuge for life to take hold in your yard and in your space, the connection that you develop with your own spirit and with those spirits of place is life-changing. And, you know, that's where you get that joyful empowerment coming into, is through serving others. And who better to serve than, you know, the animals and the plants that can't necessarily protect themselves.
No, it's true. And I've learned a lot about my lawn because we don't kill the weeds. And I have Dandelion City, but I also, I think it was you that told me, I have some form of burdock growing. I have all kinds of, like, different things. Another one of the plants that you talk about, I forget the name now, but I know when I see it, it's good to put on a, that's good to, not mullein. It's like a form of mullein, but it looks smaller, like the mini ones. I forget what you called them.
Maybe
it's on
the plantain. Yeah, maybe the plantain herb.
Yes, the plantain. Yeah, they look like little mini mulleins. And I have a ton of those. I'm like, wow, I have some. So I'm learning a lot, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm still afraid to pick some of the things because I'm still not sure. Like, I was looking. I'm like, I think Jim told me this was burdock, but I'm going to take another picture of it tomorrow. I was just thinking that today when I was outside in the rain with the dog. And I'm like, I'm going to, you know, take a picture of this tomorrow and send it to him and see if this is the right thing because I don't want to pick the wrong thing, you know. And that's good. I think that's good advice for anybody. Start where you're at. Just connect with the earth around you. I go to the river all the time and just listen to what she has to tell me, you know. And especially now with all the rain we've had, the waterfalls are flowing beautifully again. And, you know, I personally, 2020, I thought was a great year because there was nobody anywhere. And you really got to appreciate nature. And I think nature really enjoyed that break from so much traffic, you know, and there's nothing better for me. I do the river a lot in the summer, as you know, but so let's see what else here. So give me five things that bring you joyful empowerment in your life.
Five things that bring joyful empowerment. I would say one of the first things is accomplishing a difficult task. I've always been one to, I want to say fake it till you make it. I will sometimes put myself out there not being completely versed in a subject or the ability to do something. Because under the gun, you know, I always work the best under pressure. Under the gun, I'm going to learn more faster. I've taken jobs that were just horrendous, you know, physically, but I had to prove it to myself that I was capable of doing it. And I would stick it out for, you know, years, you know, to prove it to myself that, yes, I can do this job. Don't tell me I can't do this. I'm going to do it. So accomplishing difficult tasks is big. I would say connecting with others is huge. I've been blessed over the past year. I've practiced as a solitary for 30 years, and I've been blessed in the past year to connect with a tradition. I'm aligned with the Karelian nativist tradition. And I've dedicated myself to that path. And the sense of community after 30 years of being alone, they really create an environment, too, where the individual is seen, heard, and valued. And, they're empowering others, which helps me to empower others. Yes, and Phoenix is wonderful. He's our newest high priest in the tradition. Lord Don has retired in the position. So it has just been an amazing experience on the local level, working with our local Four Pillars Temple and working and helping others. Like I said, I learn the most when I'm helping others. So that's huge. Yeah. I would say pursuing my passions. Before we got on here, I ran outside and I planted a bunch of hyacinth bulbs that were rescued from a drugstore who was throwing them away after Mother's Day. But I find such joy in, don't throw those away. And that's one of my passions is saving life and bringing it back. I would say learning and growing, constantly learning, constantly growing as an individual. All of those things really feed into that joyful empowerment, which I hope that resonates with others too.
Well, definitely resonates with me a lot of that, though, of what you said, you know. I'm always the one that takes the, you know, the runt of the litter, or the, I've always loved the runt of the litter in any kind of animal that I've gotten. My dog, nobody wanted her because she didn't look pit bull enough. And, you know, cause she's half hound and she had the long ears, and, that she's my girl, you know, my bubby girl. And, I've taken that aspect a lot. I always, you know, root for the underdog, I guess it would be called. I don't know. But, and the same with plants, you know, I'll take the half dead one, you know, and be like, oh, maybe I can save it. Even though I have, I call it, the black thumb of, I'm the grim reaper of plants. I feel sometimes, you know, things that most people can grow without anything, I kill them. Yes. So, I'm trying my best to learn. I keep trying to get you to come out here and teach me, you know, how to make my thumb green.
When you quit fussing over them and just love them from a distance, that's when they thrive.
You know, I want ducks in my flower garden, darn it. You know, like right. That's to me, and yeah, so wildlife, I guess, is another empowering thing for me. Helping underprivileged kids or at-risk youth, that's one of my things that I find empowerment with. There's so many at-risk kids. I try to help them, you know, just get a different perspective or just listen to them, because a lot of times that's what they need the most. Community work. I used to be in Solitaries of the Silver Broom on Long Island, and I'm kind of back solitary again since I moved to New Hampshire. But I've been working with, you know, the Wiccan Family Temple with Star, which has really helped me a lot. That was a big thing for me, to help empower me and bring me out of that dark point. You know, I started working behind the scenes of Witches Fest and doing all these wonderful things. And that's how I met Hercules and how I got out here on the podcast, you know, because at first I was like, me, I'm just Joanne. No, you know, and Yeshi Matthews, we did a workshop in January. She invited me to it, and it was, you know, vision boards for the new year. And in my mind, I was like, oh, vision boards, I don't know. But I was like, I love Yesha and how she teaches. So I did the class. I think Lauren might have did it too. And it was such a great thing. And that's where Joyful Empowerment was birthed out of. You know, I've told that story a zillion times, but basically we had to think of a word for 2023. And I came up with empowerment, and then she added another thing to it. She's like, now think of the shadow aspect of that word. And I was like, wow, yeah, that's true. I don't want to empower weight gain or bad feelings or things like that. I want to empower, you know, good things, you know, happy things. I want, you know, my career. And that's when Joyful Empowerment came out. So Hercules comes back in January, and he's like, you ready to do your podcast? And I was like, I just said yes, because I said I was going to do things outside of the box. That was my new thing for the year. And he's like, so what are you going to call it? And I was like, oh, I didn't even think of that, you know. And then Joyful Empowerment popped in. So, and that's how that came about. So doing things, like you said, outside of the box, or that you normally wouldn't do, are tremendously helpful. So I agree. So those are some of my things that help me. Animals, plants, kids, the river, and just, you know, doing things that are outside of my zone right now. That's new for me. And hopefully this podcast evolves, because I'm new to this whole interviewing thing. And I think it's gone a lot better since my first one, when I was like a bundle of nerves and anxiety and getting a little more structured at it.
I really appreciate your approach. It's more like a conversation together, you know, rather than a traditional interview, and that sets you apart.
Thank you. I love that. My kiddos tell me that. They're like, wow, it's like when I talk to you, it's like therapy, but it's not. And I'm like, oh, well, that's my magic. We all have our little magic. So now if people want to work with you because you do amazing readings, that life path reading you did for me was so awesome. You know, how can people get a hold of you? How do we reach the elusive Jim Sayers?
Probably the best way to reach me, unfortunately, you know, I haven't really dived into the TikTok world or even Instagram so much, but the best way to reach me is probably just on Facebook.
I don't do those other two either.
Yeah, and you could just look for myself, Jim Sayers, and follow me on Facebook. After we know each other for a while, you know, we could hook up as friends, but a big project this year has really been bringing back my Kitchen Witchery Nourishing Traditions class, which has a Facebook group. And we meet once a month around the kitchen table on Zoom to just talk about the lessons that we're working on. We're on Module 3 right now, talking about mindfulness. But you can jump in at any point. You have access to all of the previous classes. I think this is going to be evolving into a book, as well as an ongoing discussion that can just continue to grow. But
I hope so, because I want to join the next go around. Wednesdays haven't been good for me lately, so you know I'm hoping. I was so bummed out, but I do follow the group and the other stuff.
I appreciate that. And then another, talking about community that I've really moved into is another Facebook group that I am admin is Witchcraft Together, a cooperative community. And it's always been a dream of mine to bring together people who may not necessarily relate but finding common ground. And the idea of a cooperative community, that's how my classes are set up as well. We've all been to that class that costs $500 or $1,000. And it's very limited as to the perspectives that you get when you set prices in such a way. So I've really set up my classes in, you know, pay what you can afford. If it's just, you know, buy me a cup of coffee, or if it's $5 a month or 10 or 15 or 25, whatever you can do, you know, pay more when you can, pay less when you can't. Don't pay me at all. I don't care. It's about the exchange of energy. You know, so if you come to the class and you share, you know, what your grandma taught you, that's an exchange of energy. But that is really my approach to witchcraft and community is cooperation and that cooperative ideal. And that's really what I would like to see is people coming together, sharing their stories, finding their common ground, and setting aside the differences, because at the end, the differences don't matter, because we're facing bigger obstacles in this world right now on the political scene, on the safety scene in terms of our faith. And we need to circle the wagons and quit tearing each other down. And that's what that group is about.
Well, and really, honestly, that, again, starts from working on the self. Because if you're miserable on the inside, that's what's going to come out on the outside. You know, I hate using that phrase, hurt people, but in a way it's true, you know. And, you know, I've learned to look at, you know, because my daughter's like, geez, mom, you know, you don't react like you used to years ago. You know, you would be like, and I said, you know what, that comes from a, you know, when I was 20, I probably would have kicked somebody's butt. Yes, probably. I said, but now I look at people and I'm like, that's trauma. You know what I mean? That's not me. That's trauma that's coming out. You know, they're not, that's being directed at me, but it's not me. And I've learned a lot about that, and it's true. But I know, you know, I keep joking with you. I'm like, we need to open up our own holistic healing center to do all these things and have our groups and classes. And that would be the ultimate dream for me, to have some kind of cooperative like that. Lauren can teach art therapy and all these wonderful things.
So many of us in the community have those dreams. And we just have to figure out how to bring it together and make it happen.
And
I think things like your podcast that bring people from different perspectives together, and the work that Hercules is doing, and the work that so many people are doing, it's just about bringing them together and giving each other
mm-hmm.
platform and space to share that commonality. Because at the end of the day, the differences don't matter, because we're all different in the eyes of those, I don't want to call them our enemies, but in the eyes of the people who are working to get against us, we're all the same, and we're all their enemies.
Well,
so we have to fix it together.
Yeah. And that's what I love about working Witches Fest, because, you know, I always say this, and I say this a lot on my spotlights, is people have tunnel vision or blinders on when they think of witches or magical practitioners. And I love how Witches Fest and WitchCon and all these different platforms and, you know, Hex Fest, they show all the diversity within our community on how different we all are. We all have jobs. We're all, some of us do, some of us don't. We're all, you know, working towards helping the community. We're all working towards helping each other, and it just shows we're human, just like everybody else. We have families, we have things that we do, and I love that these things are showing that. And it's sad to me that people want to crush that, you know.
Definitely. And
you know, we have a lot of issues, like you said, with these groups coming around now that, you know, and people like Hercules and Mount Olympus. That, you know, and festivals like Christians and Stars, they let us have our voice and show people, and you know, that's brave of them in today's times, like you said, you know, to take up that and show people, you know, what our community is about. You know, yeah, you might not be a witch, but you might be an herbal practitioner, and that's just, you know, that has its thing, and it, to me, you know, I don't know. We're all connected. That's what I like to say, you know.
And on that note, we need to start wrapping up. We have around 2 minutes left.
Okay. And any last words for everybody, Jim?
You know, I would just say that joyful empowerment starts in the moment. It starts with that connection to others and connection to other beings. And seeing ourselves in each other, you know, and exchanging self for other, whether it's a plant or it's a person. At the end of the day, we empower ourselves by empowering others.
Well, thank you so much for being on here, Jim. I've been looking forward to this interview for so long with you. And thank you to everybody who's listened and come to frolic on Mount Olympus with us. And join us next month on Joyful Empowerment, when my guest will be the amazing Darcy Velez. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne, and thank you, Jim, for a wonderful show. Very, very profound. You've given me lots of things to think about. I wish you both well in all your endeavors and look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Hercules, for giving me the platform.
And thanks to our wonderful audience for tuning in. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand, until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, guys.
Ciao, everybody.